Broadcasting from the super secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 11P7.
Welcome, everyone. This episode of Level 11D7, wherein we talk about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. A full house tonight here in the studio. Jason Hunt here, along with the gang of meddling kids, Maya Aids.
Good evening.
Cammy Settle.
How you doing?
Christopher Pryor.
Hello, ladies.
Dan Handley.
Hello.
And the other guy, Tim Harvey.
I'm very concerned. Hello, ladies.
About, yeah.
I may or may not have been watching a lot of Old Spice commercials recently.
Oh, man.
I do this thing at work where I get on the intercom and I have to like advertise for our cafe. So I get up and I'm like, hello.
Sure.
Look at your man. Now look at me. Back to him. Back to me. Look at your hand. It's empty. Wouldn't it look good if it had a cup of coffee in there?
Speaking of coffee, we all have some.
I don't drink coffee.
I know I work at a cafe, but I don't actually drink coffee.
I don't think you need any caffeine.
I'm afraid you're going to have to go.
That's because you can't take what you dish out, right?
Just give me Dr. Pepper and I'll be soothed.
Ah, no. There we go. There we go. Are
they paying for a plug?
Oh. No. Be nice if they were, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, did I not tell you that? I'm getting paid. You guys are getting paid?
Yeah.
Man, Dr. Pepper and me, we're tight, man.
Well, and Dr. Pepper got mentioned on Supergirl the other night, too.
Yes, it did.
Maxwell Lord, when he's prisoner and he's been forced to work on Reactron's suit, he lays out all of this. I need this and this and this and this and this and this.
And Dr. Pepper. Yes.
It's like, okay, I can like him for now. All right. So, tonight's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Chaos Theory. Blair Underwood, in an interview, said that the reveal that Andrew is Lash came as a complete surprise to him.
What? Andrew is Lash?
Yeah. Spoilers. We do tend to talk about spoilers on the show, do we not?
Occasionally.
We do.
Yes. And if you want to join the conversation, you can call our hotline 573-42-SCI-FI, or you can send us an email, level1187@scififorme.com. And... what do we think tonight? Well, let's do some plot lines. Let's do some plotniks.
Mm-hmm.
So, who wants to do the plot? Cammy?
You've got notes.
I have notes.
Things.
Yeah.
If I don't write it down, it didn't happen.
Well, and if Cammy can get through the plot, none of the rest of us digress too much. See, there's a method to my madness because Cammy's not the one that launches off to the side like some other. People.
Let the record show he's staring right at Maya.
I'm staring off at the bobbleheads behind Maya.
Wait.
It's so wrong.
That's so unfair. It's the stinky boys that usually do that. That's not me.
Hey.
Stinky. Now,
stinky men, thank you very much.
Yes, this is a conversation we're going to have at some point because over on Sci-Fi for Chicks, which is the other podcast that's just the ladies of the staff, apparently we are known as the Stinky Boys, and I'm not quite sure that that's going to stand.
Try new Old Spice.
And a cup of coffee.
Yeah. All right, so plot. Okay. It's pretty straightforward.
Yes, it was very straightforward. We're looking at the future of the enhanced people tonight.
Yeah.
Gemma handed her phone off to Fitz, who fixed the SIM card and was able to view all of her recordings and her pictures and kind of work through all that stuff. May is on to Andrew. She figured out from baby Von Strucker that Andrew was not who he seems to be. Lincoln has also figured out that Lash belongs to somebody in S.H.I.E.L.D. He is somebody in S.H.I.E.L.D. And so they kind of put two and two together and they converge. Daisy, on the other hand, is, we opened this episode with her being very indignant about the whole Rosalind approach to putting people in gel and putting them on stasis and
put them in gel.
Yeah, just park them for later. You know, we'll fix them in post, right?
Stick them in goop.
But we do see her take a change of heart at the end, and we'll get to that in a minute. We've got, of course, they go after the Lash. Andrew has, we'll talk about his motivations and why he's going after this in a bit. But,
right.
But they do end up containing Lash or Andrew, and Daisy then has this change of heart about the stasis for Andrew's sake. You know, it's okay, yeah, you know, I do agree he's got to be put away for a little bit, but it's a temporary thing. And then we also have a reveal that Rosalind and Coulson have kind of a little tete-a-tete, and she gets a call from Price, and this is the guy from NORAD that she's been trying to introduce Coulson to, and Price is the one that's working with Ward.
Well, and this, it should be noted, this is Powers Booth's character from the Shadow Council from the Avengers, mm-hmm. Who came back into the Marvel Universe last week. Mm-hmm. Was it last week?
Yeah,
last week. Yeah, so yeah, and then we you know, there's a reveal. I guess he's Hydra, which kind of skewers our thoughts about. Well, I don't know. Maybe not, given what they set up for next week. But our hopes and dreams that Rosalind is actually Abigail Brand and they're going to set up S.W.O.R.D.
I don't think it necessarily derails it because he's with NORAD.
No. I said skewers. Skewers, okay. Sir. Yeah.
I don't think it skewers anything. But, the NORAD connection is just one more piece to the puzzle.
Yeah.
That feels very much that if they are not going for creating S.W.O.R.D., they are giving us a lovely misdirect. Because they're like, ooh, here's the thing. Ah, just kidding. You know, so that's entirely possible.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the kind of thing where we got a Civil War reference tonight.
Yes,
and so it would not surprise me if we were getting what would be eventually a Guardians of the Galaxy, Infinity Stone, Infinity Wars kind of thing.
What was the Civil War reference?
The meeting that Coulson was going to in D.C. was to decide the future of the enhanced community. Yeah.
And that's the beginning of the discussions that's going to lead into the Civil War.
The registration.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it wasn't like a, you know, neon sign kind of moment, mm-hmm. but it was the kind of thing, it's like, there it is.
Yep. I think they're gonna gradually ease into that because lessons learned from the first season. they're probably sitting there going, you know, we probably ought to just kind of ease into Captain America: Civil War rather than spinning our wheels for half the season. Civil War.
Yeah, timing is everything.
Yeah. It is.
Or lack thereof.
Yes. So, but the main part of all of this, you know, the May discovering the truth about Andrew.
Right.
We're bookended by the trip to Hawaii in this episode. Yeah. So, of sorts. We do have the little coda scene at the end with Ward and what's his
Price.
Name? Price. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, May has to go through this process where she has to process what's going on.
Yeah.
And
I don't know how somebody processes that.
Well, she's finally realized why Andrew was so distant.
Yeah.
After they had this great vacation in Hawaii. He withdrew from her after he got back. And
that's like, not their normal history. Yeah. Right. Their normal history is she pulls away.
Right. So now she understands. She also has to deal with the fact that he's killed so many people.
Well, and this, the backstory on this, we finally get the flashback. Apparently, Zha Ying, Daisy's mother, had a bunch of books and records and artifacts and whatnot, and confiscated by S.H.I.E.L.D. or S.H.I.E.L.D. 2.0, whichever one grabbed it. Andrew Garner ends up with all of it to examine it and go through it, and there's a ledger. Right. That contains the names, and according to Lincoln, it's the genealogy of a lot of the Inhumans that are around now.
Yep.
And the book is booby-trapped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when Andrew opens it up, the Terrigen Crystal goes...
exactly like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he gets transformed.
Okay, one of the things
which is not consistent with the comics, but
why? I mean, It seems kind of silly to not assume that there wouldn't be some booby traps in some
of God,
the stuff
that she... Oh, God, yes. I know. It's just driving me crazy.
Really. Yeah, knowing what we know about Jia Ying.
I mean, really?
Okay, well, we've already established that from time to time...
They are a really stupid organization.
They have no safeguards. They have no... Well, when the narrative calls for it...
Yes.
They are capable of doing really dumb things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this was right up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the convenient moments.
Well, like, yeah, you know, stuff.
And not to mention the fact that Andrew, well, though he is a SHIELD employee, he's not an agent.
No, he's a consultant.
No, but I'm...
What I'm saying is that before it gets anywhere near the civilian's hands, the stuff what came from the crazy lady, what going around killing people...
The one what was going to kill her own daughter.
Should have been secured a little bit better.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe checked for things like, I don't know, maybe a booby trap or two.
Because I actually would be surprised if that's the only booby trap that's in her materials.
There could be more Terrigen dust.
Well, there could be other things, too. I mean, there could be razor blades in there or spring-loaded darts.
Well, it was a pretty good tool, though, for her to do that. I mean, she was going to make sure that whoever found that list...
Mm-hmm. Either died or turned.
Yeah, either died or turned.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is consistent with what we know about her.
Right.
Yeah.
Which would make you think, hey...
It's very efficient.
Yeah. Maybe we should check this out first.
See if there's...
Sure, Mikey, you try it.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure there's no Terrigen dust, Terrigen mist, Terrigen cookies, or whatever they might be hiding.
Yeah, I don't know how you check all the books to make sure that there aren't booby traps.
You put them in a room, and you have these, like... You call Dr. Octavius, and he comes in with his arm.
You basically just get somebody who you already know is inhuman, already changed, and say, all right, could you go through these?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's the easy way to do it. Mm-hmm. Either that or get a...
Daisy wouldn't do that. She'd get so bored doing that. Yeah. She's like, I want to do something else. I want to go out there. I want to help people. I don't feel like I'm doing anything. You don't give me enough to do. I could be doing so much more, Phil.
You sound exactly like her.
I know. And it scares me a little.
Did you do any, like, ADR voiceover on this episode?
I have an agent. Someone hire me.
But they might pay you more than I do.
Well, I'd hope so.
There's no match.
Now keep me satiated with Dr. Pepper, and I'll stay at the foosball table.
I was about to say, one day, Dr. Pepper will fund us.
We'll
all be able to buy cups of coffee.
We'll have to make a pitch to the Dr. Pepper group, I guess.
Yep. Yeah. They might want product placement, though.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah. I support that product.
Yeah, we have a place to place it right here.
We do. And we have an Instagram.
We have even a little fridge.
We could do it right now. We could just start slurping whatever we have.
And we'll make sure we do video on these. We'll all wear Dr. Pepper t-shirts and, you know, have Dr. Pepper in front of us.
As long as we don't have to sing.
You know, that jingle came back and I thought, that's fun.
You know, I think we should just rebrand the site as Dr. Pepper for me.
Here's what worries me, though. We may have just shot ourselves in the foot of Mr. Pibb.
That's not a loss.
Yeah, to quote the may he rest in peace, Mitch Hedberg. That's the layman's version of Dr. Pepper, because that dude didn't even get his degree.
All right,
that was a terrible digression. Can we get back?
Cammy, you had one job.
My job here was done.
Well, we've got to do one. We've got to have one.
At least one.
That was soda
see
pop.
The thing. But it is though the you know again we're faced with an episode that's got a very straightforward simple plot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's A to B to C, and you know the stuff with Fitz and Simmons is just on the sideline. We get barely any with Mockingbird and Hunter tonight. They got a couple of scenes where it's, you know, Mockingbird is still not feeling very sure of herself, and she tells Hunter, "What you did was incredibly stupid. And don't ever do it again because I don't want to lose you." Sky.
clearly you like because, the action shots
because
better.
That's what's that's well, I mean, that's where they were. I mean, yeah, you're right. You know, and
but yeah,
I mean,
they dealt with a lot of relationship stuff this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, it was
and they were complicated relationships. I mean, yeah. May and Andrew were the worst.
Right.
Yeah, that's you the know, most that's, complicated.
That's going to take a couple of right.
Honey, you keep going through shirts. What's the deal?
When did David Banner become a house guest?
Oh, dun, 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 dun.
But then you've got Rosalind and Coulson. That's kind of a strange liaison.
No,
and it's
that's
about
not
to get strange.
It's not strange.
No, it's about to get strange.
We've been leading to that. I mean,
right.
I know
that's
that,
been building up.
You know, it just seems like it's happened so fast. They're rushing.
Oh, you
things.
Are old fashioned.
Blame the car.
Yeah, it was the car.
It was the car. That was a. She was totally. She knew what she was doing.
I still insist that she wanted to see what that robot hand of his could do.
Well, the car. She's. Pl-
she may have found
him.
That.
Well, she
it,
was playing him.
It can short
yes,
out with the car.
She's totally been playing. Yeah.
So we've got her working for Price.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
Was,
do you think she
well,
knows exactly
okay.
what Price is up to, though? Do you think?
Yeah.
Think
it could,
does she know he's Hydra?
Could probably go either way at this point.
I don't think she knows he's Hydra.
Okay. Well, she's. Yeah. She's. I don't know. I don't think she's at all. No. He's playing his own game.
He's NORAD, so I don't think she knows he's Hydra.
Just the little teaser they have at the very end, I almost wonder if Coulson knows.
Oh, well.
He may.
Or at least has some indication.
Suspicion. You know,
he'll come across like he always knew as soon as they reveal
well,
it to him.
And
I knew
from,
all along.
And from the promo that we get for next week, you know, the confrontation apparently is going to happen pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have her locked up and he's going to sit there and go, you're going to tell me the truth or you're not going to leave this room.
Right.
But the look on her face kind of seems to hint, at least, that she's not quite sure what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, so, it could go either way at this point, I think.
Yep.
No, I don't think she's part of our villainous crew, because I think, well, I still think we're leading ourselves to
sword. No, she's
being
played by Price.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
she's been playing Coulson, too,
well,
in
you know,
more ways than one.
Here's the sad thing, though. We're talking about the relationships tonight. The least interesting one was between May and Andrew.
You think?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because we all know that there's S.H.I.E.L.D. does not play well with other versions of any other organization we've pretty much established in this show.
Yeah.
Even its own versions of itself. So we were always going to have a confrontation between
S.H.I.E.L.D. and ATCU.
Yeah, that was always going to come. And the chemistry between the two of these people is obvious and quick. We saw that very early on.
Mm-hmm.
So that relationship is all potential and doom. You know,
yeah,
it's like
it will end in tears.
Yeah, but it's already, you know. And then we got our little, you know, afterglow moment. Let's go get breakfast.
Yeah.
And then of course we had Fitz and Gemma, and it is that. Some of the best acting in that episode, and this episode was in between those two.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I especially like the sunrise scene.
Yeah, and that was... Yeah.
There was so much in that.
What's interesting about that scene is that she admits right there that she loves him and that she wants a future with him.
Yeah.
Right.
And she never actually says it, but she says it.
But she says it. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they're both aware that one of the reasons she has to go, that she needs to go back, is to rescue the man she's also loves.
Indeed, right.
Well, and the man who kept her alive.
That too.
You know, there's a feeling of duty as well.
Sure, but that's the
multi-layered.
This is the closest we've gotten to the thing we've always knew was going to happen. So, and you took those two, this relationship that got potential and doom coming. You got a relationship where these two are clearly made for each other, and we've talked about the last couple of weeks how Fitz is like the greatest man who ever lived. You know, he's just one of the kindest human beings, and in a show where, you know, about people who are lying to each other a lot
all the time,
here's this like genuinely sweet person, and compared to those two, Andrew, ever since the reveal that Andrew was Lash, it's to just break out the top hat and the long mustache, because they're and I don't he's too good of an actor. He's too good a director to not have done this except under direction.
Because he was told to.
He was told to. But every single shot of Andrew was like, and now I'm evil. I am. I'm sorry. No, everything's fine. Everything's.
Well, and every something. Single one. I don't know who mentioned it while we were watching the episode tonight, but the fact that Underwood's performances now that he's been revealed as Lash, you know, you talk about going back to previous episodes to see if there's any hint of that. I think it was Dan.
It was me.
And you compare that with
Ward.
With Ward, with the reveal for Ward. Now, Brett Dalton knew Ward was Hydra, I think, two or three episodes before the episode that revealed it.
Okay.
And nobody else on the cast knew.
Ah.
He knew. And that affected some of the different ways that he played the scenes. And in the editing, they say if you go back and you look at some of the ways that shots were set up and you hear but don't see, or you see but don't hear, it was there before it was revealed to be there.
Even when it was revealed, personally, I sat there and thought to myself,
exactly.
It makes sense now.
Yeah.
However, compared to that, the fact that Blair Underwood has an interview and says that he didn't know that Andrew was Lash until he got the episode that says Andrew's Lash, it does completely change the tenor of his performance.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's such a huge switch. There is no build-up. There is no gradual easing into the reveal like we had with Ward. And I think that throws the whole thing off for me. Yeah. I don't...
Yeah, it was pretty abrupt.
It was. The whole thing, Andrew as Lash, it feels very much like Lash has to be someone that puts stakes into it. I mean, it's like, okay, well, who do we have?
Somebody get a dart.
You know, it doesn't feel organic.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. If you bring him in as he is in the comic, you now have to open up.
Are you talking about Lash or Andrew?
Okay, well, Lash. If you bring Lash in as is in the comic, you have to open up an entire new sub society of the Inhumans,
which they weren't going to do apparently.
Well, yeah, because all of a sudden you've got to basically go back and reveal that he's the representative or a member of this other group of Inhumans.
Right, but if you're using Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to lead up to the Inhumans movie in 2020, you've got plenty of time to do that.
Well, I know, but not this season.
Well, no.
See? Okay. But
there's nothing that says the whole thing's got to play out in the season.
Well, I know, but you bring in Lash and you set up your conflict with this character.
Right. He went into goo. They've got a while to go back.
Well, I know, but
we don't know he goes into goo until we see him go into goo. Okay.
He's in goo.
But you can't if you're going to reveal that, if like the comic, that Lash is a part of this other group of Inhumans. You need time. You can't just sit there and go, oh, no, by the way, Lash is part of this other group of Inhumans. Ta-da! You can't do that. That's not how storytelling works.
Well, apparently they're not, because they already showed us.
That's how it works on Gotham.
So, well, that's true.
Well, you know, Lincoln referred to another subculture of Inhumans.
There's going to be plenty of them. Right. But the thing is that you can't just have a character pop up out of nowhere with this, like, you know, and make him... to some degree,
they already did
a primary threat of
we just watched it tonight.
Good trick word. No, that's called lazy writing. it's so frustrating because he's a really good actor.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's like as someone who has written for actors and directed actors and has been an actor, I feel kind of like the writers betrayed him here. Mm. I mean, it's like. It's like he should have a word and go,
let's throw him a curveball, see what he does with
this. Why you got to do me like this?
I thought it would have been good to have Rosalind be Lash.
Pick. I thought she was going to be it.
But then it ruins the whole other side of what she's doing
now. Well, see, that ruins Sword.
Okay, for you.
We're setting up for you.
Heaven forbid we dash your dreams.
It was. I think it was set up for Bates.
It's his. Oh yeah, his dream.
But the record shows Jason is
going to. It's made of candy.
Yes,
it's made of candy and unicorns and fuzzy teddy bears.
Well, and
gimme.
Basically, was a
thing. But it is though. You're. You know, if we go by things being set up. You know, you talk about easing into things and gradually building up. They are. It does really feel like they are laying the groundwork for Sword,
or some
analog.
Cinematic universe is analog to Sword, because we're getting and there's a number of reasons that you can make that argument. Not least of which is that they dropped a NORAD reference tonight.
Right.
Right.
You've got Captain Marvel coming in at some point,
and you had the success of Guardians of the Galaxy. There's all these different ways that Earth is becoming an intergalactic player, or it will be.
Yeah.
And so you're going to need to have the agency that stands in the way.
That deals with that.
Right. And they have there's so many different opportunities for them to take us that direction, or at least set it up so that when the films come around, even if you don't have any of the cast from the TV show making an appearance in the film.
Which eventually has to happen.
The organization does. Yeah. So just like you don't get Sam Jackson on TV very often, but you see, S.H.I.E.L.D., he's the face of S.H.I.E.L.D.
in
the movies.
And it could very well be that at the end of Civil War is when they establish S.W.O.R.D.
Right, and we actually get someone named Abigail Brand at that point, so.
I don't know, I still think Constance Zimmer is playing Abigail Brand.
I think,
why not?
I know, that's what
except for the fact that she's not a movie star, and if you're going to use S.W.O.R.D. in the movies at all, you're going to have somebody with some screen cred on.
Well, but we could also get we could get an Abigail Brand who's maybe not the director of S.W.O.R.D. in the movies. Or, I mean, there's lots of different things they could do. She could be like the.
They could always put her in something else before that. Give her some movie.
I don't know.
Time
I think S.W.O.R.D. will be part of the show,
because then you end up with S.H.I.E.L.D. and S.W.O.R.D. so one is defense, one is offense.
Then you could spin it off into its own show if it becomes something that picks up and people go, I want to see more of that.
Marvel's Candy. Agents of S.W.O.R.D.
yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, you've got Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and you could put S.W.O.R.D. on Netflix.
You could, because you do a 6-episode run and you dump some money into it so you can have your special effects, because you bring in aliens and things like that.
Yeah.
You get a proper Skrull invasion instead of the Chitauri. And
rights.
Okay, you call them the Chitauri, but you do it like the Chitauri from the Ultimate Comics, as opposed to the the swarm that essentially began from the movie.
You guys are going to go off into another universe. Yes. We need a break first.
Yes, okay, fine. We will fortify ourselves with refills of coffee and caffeine.
Perhaps some Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. And when we get back, more analysis of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tonight's episode when Level 117 continues right after this.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Until you unsubscribe in a sudden but inevitable betrayal.
There are plenty of places to get your genre news. We get that. Which is why we go visit those places for you. And then we bring it all back here so it's all in one handy little place. Sci-Fi for Me is your one-stop shop for everything genre. Comic books, video games, TV, movies, the latest best-selling novels. Join us as we delve into the many story universes over a nice cup of coffee. We've got everything you need, all in one place. Sci-FiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV. That's our YouTube channel where we have interviews, convention panel video, all part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out. Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of sci-fiforme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon, or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton, shirts and art for fans by fans.
And now, back to Level 11D7, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
Back on Level 11D7, Jason Hunt here, along with Cammie Settle.
Hi.
Maya Aids.
Yo.
Chris Pryor. Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
And Dan Handley.
Hey, Chris, you realize that's not Dr. Pepper, right?
It's all I have.
It is.
It is all I have in this world,
but
Dan.
It is still
Dan,
good.
It was product placement until you said that.
Yeah. Yeah, you ruined it, Dan.
Sorry.
Thanks a lot.
We just lost our sponsorship.
No. I was going to mention the other so that maybe they might jump in on a sponsorship.
No, let's leave it now.
Let's leave it ambiguous.
Yes.
Okay.
It's just, ambiguous it's just is better. A something.
Give the audience a sense of mystery.
Whatever it is bubbly and delicious.
Okay, so Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Is that what we're here for?
That's what we're here for. So, you know, I gotta put on my striped shirt and play referee here, I guess, now. Any favorite moments?
Mm.
Not so favorite moments?
Yes,
Maya.
My favorite moment is the sunrise scene with Fitz and Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Because the acting was just superb in that.
Yeah, it was.
Favorite moment, Bobby in the dressing room.
There's always one.
Do I need to explain myself?
No,
you don't.
It's always the same with you.
yeah, pretty much.
Tammy?
There was a good line when they catch Lash, you know, May shoots him.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They put him in the container, and yes. Phil says, wow, how did you know that wouldn't kill him? And she said, yeah, I didn't.
Yeah.
She was taking a risk.
Did it seem like Ming-Na Wen's performance was a little...
flat?
Well, I was going to say heavy-handed.
But just not quite
there. It's a little
there.
Off. Does it...
Well, okay, come on. She, in context of the character, she's just figured out that the man she loves has been going around the country murdering people.
Right, yeah, she still seems a little numb to everything.
What do you want from her?
There was just a vibe that I got tonight that seemed like she was having a bad, off day performance-wise.
There was maybe one moment where she was confronting him at the very end, just sort of the way she was sort of letting her arms flail about that made it look like she maybe was not in the moment. But as far as performances go, there was a lot of variety from her this particular episode.
We're used to seeing her angry, and there was more than anger in this episode for her.
Well, you see her angry, but you also see a lot of control.
Well, sure. And
stuff.
We saw the control, today, but it just didn't seem to fit.
She just seemed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was just the way it's...
Okay, but again, we have never had her in the situation that she is in this evening.
I know, but she didn't seem like... It wasn't a character thing. It was a performance thing. It didn't seem like her
character. I didn't see that.
I didn't get...
I see what you're saying.
I'm numb emotionally. I'm not in the moment as an actor. Is what it felt like to me.
That's how it read for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But it could be just me. I don't know.
Dan,
favorite moment?
Well, I did like the scenes between Fitz and Simmons, but other than that, just to bring in something different, when Daisy saved Roz.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Discovering the new ability plus... making Roz realize, okay, maybe I've got to rethink this whole thing about putting them all behind.
Yeah.
Well, and at the same time, Daisy figuring that she's not 100% right either.
Correct.
Yeah, they both had
their
epiphanies today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That's been the way with a lot of characters, including May. She was a little bit of that as well.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
It's like there were so many moments.
So many moments in this where people have realized, there's more to this than what I thought.
Yeah, we didn't get a whole lot of Mac tonight.
No.
No.
What's up with that?
Well, he did say, yeah, shooting doesn't work.
Well, he had a good line. He says, what was it? I need to get serious about that shotgun axe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see the shotgun axe.
Yes.
You know, we'll get that about the same time we'll get Fitz's monkey. Mm. Right?
Right.
Yeah. So mm. Tim, favorite because moment.
Watching Fitz watch the tape.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Just because first of all, we got footage from that we did not get from her episode. From,
that's right.
From
right.
Jim's episode. Yeah. This is new. Right. There was new footage.
Yeah.
And because his reactions were just perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just, you're watching someone just fall apart a mm-hmm. little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And... Mm-hmm. Yet not quite falling apart. It was yeah. very good.
He was hanging on by yeah. the skin of his teeth.
He did such
a
great
places.
Job mm-hmm. with this tonight. Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's almost he knew to expect it, but he can never prepare for it.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing too is yes, you get that photograph of Simmons with Will,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but there was so much more before that.
Everything else on that SIM card. Is Fitz.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's her talking to Fitz, and it's the audio yeah. and it's the video.
I like
and
the way they revealed
else.
That. You know, he came upon that picture pretty early on.
Yeah.
And was a little upset by that. But then all of a sudden he hears her voice and she's talking to him.
Yep. Yeah.
And he was able to be clear headed enough to notice that the similarities between the images.
Right.
Well, I mean,
well, sure.
Fitz
that's
is a
his job.
Fitz
I mean,
is a scientist.
That's what he
I mean,
does all
yeah.
the time.
That's the way his mind works. But. Yeah, there was just something about just watching him and
it was an emotional journey for him tonight.
All those reaction shots where you would see him reacting to what she was saying. I was just mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, there we go. Again, just comes back to that much more interesting than the whole Lash storyline for me tonight.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are we doing least favorite moments? Or you haven't done your favorite moment.
My favorite moment, well, it's kind of a tie. There's the moment with Fitz and Simmons watching the sunrise, mm-hmm. but then also the Coulson and May at the end after she shot Andrew.
Yeah,
Cammy's moment where mm-hmm. he's like, "How'd you know it wouldn't kill him?" I think those two for me, but I think between those two, the sunrise scene was probably the best.
Yeah,
but I also like the moment where Fitz kind of loses it a second and you know mm-hmm. he knocks some stuff off and he yeah. walks away, but at the same time he goes, nope, not gonna do this, this is for her, and he comes back to it, and it's that
it was her voice that threw him
moment.
Back
yeah so yeah. That I think that was yeah. that was probably for me the best piece out mm-hmm. of out of all of those tonight.
Those were good.
But you know, the thing with Hunter and Bobby, not so much from a quality standpoint, as we're starting, I think we've completely ripped them apart as characters in order to kind of do the rebuilding thing to lay the groundwork for the new show. I think we're starting to see some of that in tonight's episode moving forward, because we had to end the arc going for Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby sits there and says, we can't do that. We, you know, revenge is going to just eat us up. We can't go that route. We've got to do something else.
Whereas you have Ward sitting there going, that's exactly what I want.
Well, he's going after Coulson.
Well, because...
No, you mean Hunter.
No.
You said Ward.
Ward is going after Coulson, yes.
Right.
But he's doing that as a way of getting at everybody else as well.
Right. Right. He's still on the revenge thing.
But Bobby's point is...
Yeah,
we need a new mission.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they're going to get, that's going to end up being their new show. Mm-hmm. Either that, mm-hmm. or since it's America's Most Wanted, or whatever, Marvel's Most Wanted, I think is what they're going to call it. Maybe they go rogue.
Like they are Marvel's Most Wanted. those two,
yeah. Right?
They are.
Yeah,
rogue
they're
anyway,
the they're
right?
the leads of the new show, and that's what it's going to be called. So maybe they go rogue, or maybe they become part of the elite squad that goes after the Most Wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
out of the Hydra group.
Maybe. I like the lighting on them in their final pose. They're in the hallway. I like the lighting on them.
Let's talk about the lighting. They've got to have a new cinematographer or something this mm-hmm. season, because it has just everything in the office, everything in the base is just so dark.
It's like underwater.
I can't see a blessed thing.
It must be a new
common theme because we've been griping about Grimm being really dark.
Right,
everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
In the houses, in the police department, everywhere.
It's not my TV. I've been binge watching Continuum and this looks fine.
Well, the thing is when the executives come in and say, "Let's go darker this time." You know, when the executives say it, it's yes, sir.
We'll put the grimdark filter on now.
but you know, for a lot of TV, and we've seen you can go back and see this on a lot of television. There's a very flat, even lighting. That is, you see it on. Oh, you saw it on everything in the 80s and 90s.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was
right.
It's that entire, you know, everything is, you can see everything.
Everything's got to have a light on it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if they're experimenting with making things darker, it changes the mood. It sets texture.
It's theatrical, and not everything's going to be lit, and you're going to have shadows and whatever. But trust me, there's
stuff on Grimm. You can't even tell what's going on.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and you got some of that tonight with the fight between Lincoln and Lash because Lincoln hits Lash with a bolt, and Lash just kind of disappears into where do you go?
Right.
And then suddenly Lash runs to. Did he go through a door? Did he just melt into the wall? Would you lose all this detail?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, it's not my TV. I know it's not my TV.
No,
please
it isn't.
Don't let it be my TV going out. But it's been the last two or three episodes where anytime you get into something where you've got shadow, you lose a ton of detail. And I know it's on purpose. You're losing a lot of that stuff because they're lighting it dark, but it's too much.
Yeah, there's too many.
They're trying to save on power.
Well,
you know,
it's Los Angeles, they've got the whole Honda green generators. They just, you know,
there's only so much that they can actually light with that.
Shield goes green.
Well, this goes back to the other thing, the complaint that I've got on Supergirl and the Flash. When they do the power special effects, they do the visual effects whenever, you know, when he's running or she's flying, you've got all the schmutz on the stuff on the lens to make it look like it's there, right? You've got to look like it's in camera. Right. It's too much.
Yeah, somebody clean that off.
They're getting to a point where whatever look they're going for in these superhero shows. Well, maybe not even just the superhero shows. It could be everywhere, but I'm not watching very much TV. We're doing extremes now. I don't know if it's just because
really not bothering me.
I couldn't see anything now. Well, maybe it's because I'm half blind.
That could be something to do with it. Put your glasses on.
Yeah.
But they're
20 years old.
Well, now there might be a problem right there.
it really wasn't bothering me. I wasn't finding myself having difficulty seeing anything or questioning what I wasn't seeing when it was dark.
Yeah.
It wasn't nearly as bad as Grimm has been.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bad.
Let's plug
Grimm's a dark show to begin with.
Let's plug here. Cammy and Maya have just started recording a new podcast, the Sci-Fi for Chicks, Grimly Speaking.
Grimly Speaking.
Where they analyze They do on that show what we do on this show for a different show.
But we do it in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we don't digress nearly
as much. How many people are involved in this?
Oh, stop it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, let's see.
Let the record show.
Hey, we're just efficient.
That's right. Guess we are.
Come on.
Good night, folks. Well, okay, so what are we going to see next week? Theories? Speculations?
Link has been extended an offer to join the team.
Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Lincoln was extended that offer at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but
they've
I guess
been
it
chasing
happened again.
Him. They've been chasing him this whole time, saying, "Lincoln, join, please join our club."
And someone gave him the note, like, "Oh, did you take his offer? You can't run forever." So I think he's officially on the team now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the commercial that we got
for GMA's 40th
which was a spoiler because he's in the Shield uniform.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
wait a minute.
Maybe we should have thought of that
because we're losing. Who are we losing?
Andrew.
Well, Andrew, but he's not part of the team. Oh, Bobby and Hunter.
They're going to have to start recruiting some people.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But to go with the Secret Warrior storyline, Lincoln was always part of that plan anyway from the very beginning of the season. So,
well, it's finally happened.
It's finally happened.
Steal my thunder.
Yeah, Lincoln is going to be part of the team. And he's going to wear his uniform.
Well, next week we've got the Rosalind and Coulson furthering their story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got that confrontation coming.
Truths will be told.
I'm glad they're not drawing that
Me
out.
Me too.
Right.
Me too.
This whole season is really just like getting to the point.
Yeah, it seems like
that's a lot of stuff that's happened.
You know,
a lot of stuff that they could have drawn out. If this show had taken place 10 years ago, every single one of these plot lines that we have hit would have taken at least another 3 weeks.
This show wouldn't have gotten a second season 10 years ago. First season would have killed it.
And I've noticed this on a number of other shows because I watched you look at The Flash and Gotham and Arrow and all these other the superhero shows. Supergirl being one of them. All of them, this week, last week, this particular time frame in the season, we're in fourth or fifth episode for most of these shows, and they're all doing things that you would normally expect maybe to show up in a mid-season finale.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Which kind of makes me wonder, they're probably sitting there in the writer's room going, okay, we've really got to go big because you've got this show and this show and this show, and they're all competing for the same audience.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yeah, I can watch Flash and then watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they're 1 hour difference, one after the other. But Gotham and Supergirl are they're going head-to-head.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And Supergirl right now is still, it's lost ratings, but it's still beating Gotham.
Is that, surprise?
You know, it's hard.
It's not.
Wouldn't it be hard to figure out, though, at this point? Because people can DVR several shows at a time.
Well, and that's part of the ratings.
Yeah. Well,
they do count that?
And the Monday stuff, you get Live Plus 3, you get Live Plus 7. And the Monday stuff has been impacted by the fact that you've got so many people watching Monday Night Football, which you don't have that problem on Tuesday, thank goodness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But Monday Night Football has just been skewing everything. So you've got DVR stuff. Yeah, but all the DVR stuff really factors into the Monday numbers. So Supergirl and Gotham are really impacted by that.
Right.
But you look at, all of the ratings for all of the shows. Supergirl took a hit from the first couple of weeks. It's taken a drop. But I think it's leveled out. And all of the genre shows are pretty solid compared to
other stuff,
within their sandbox of all the different shows, all of them are doing okay, and I don't know. Maybe the writers have all sat there. I mean, they're not comparing notes with each other across shows, but all of them have said, okay, there are so many of them now. They've all got to be good. We've got to step up.
Yeah, the audience expects it.
Yeah. And I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm, it is.
But I do agree with Chris that Christopher, which one you want to be called? Christopher?
Call me Phyllis. Or
that
something.
One.
Phyllis. I agree with Phyllis here that they do seem to be getting to the point and getting things across a lot faster. Mm-hmm. I really thought the Gemma storyline, getting her back from the other planet, I thought that was going to take a lot longer.
We figured that would be a mid-season thing.
I thought it would be too.
So when they got her back in the second episode, that surprised me.
Yes, Tim?
Oh, I was thinking if we're calling you Phyllis, you need to get a different hat.
Yeah.
That's not a Phyllis hat. You're thinking something a little bigger, maybe with a flower?
And a brim.
And a brim, definitely a brim. Yeah.
You can do that.
So I'm just saying.
Felonious.
There's visual. Things.
Tim, I'm not Tim. Dan.
Well, some.
I'm pointing to you. I'm listening to Tim.
What are you doing?
What?
We're talking about all these big things happening back to back. I've noticed on a lot of these shows is they're trying to cram more into a season, more storyline into a season on all these different shows, and so they're wrapping things up a lot quicker.
Do you think that's a good thing?
I think it all depends. Mm. On one hand, you can always overdo it, but on the other hand, they're not dragging things out. It's like with Rosalind on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way they set her up, she was basically a bait and switch character to this point. You know, it's people thought she's Lash, and it took everybody's attention away from Andrew.
I don't know that there were very many people who think were thinking
was,
she was.
Well, there, I was one
there,
of the
there,
few.
There were the theories out there. There were the theories out there, but who really thought Andrew was?
Nobody.
No one,
including Andrew.
Exactly. That took the attention away from it, and so now, like, now that they've wrapped that up, they can do some more with her, which they probably had the intention to do to begin with. I do Once Upon a Time, and that's just. That is overkill, well, you know, of different
stuff.
That
shows insanity.
And then Supergirl, each episode, they've been wrapping things up that most shows would stretch out. So that's
well, and I wrote in my most recent recap for Supergirl, I think and we can get into this, I think we're seeing a lot of mini arcs. Mm-hmm. We're seeing stuff. Supergirl had a very specific thing that they have to do at the very beginning, and that's get Superman out of the picture.
Mm-hmm. Which they're not doing, though.
They did it with these three first episodes. Really? They have done
you
that.
Think so?
At the end,
I don't
at
think
the
so.
End of the third episode.
She says, I'm not Superman's cousin, I'm Supergirl. And I have to be defined by my successes. And you had this entire episode that
we'll
basically set
up. See, because
I think that's what it is.
Did
it drew
you see
it to a conclusion.
The conversation online between the two at the end?
Yeah, Clark says, won't happen again. He's we're basically saying... Superman, I'm tired of seeing Superman. And she says, I can't define myself.
As long as that's what they do.
Because
right now, you've got Superman at the edges of everything.
Yeah.
And this most recent episode, the problem with that episode was that you don't have... Superman goes off, you know, he couldn't defeat this villain who... then is pretty easily defeated. So it's just it felt
well,
but what I think that you end up happening, what ends up happening with something like that and something like this, is that how many episodes are we in on this season?
Three.
Three. What?
Three, no, of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. This is I think the fifth. This is a fifth episode.
Okay. In these five episodes,
mm-hmm.
we've gotten we've gone to an alien planet.
Right.
And back.
We have established a psychotic killer.
And caught him.
Yeah, and he's gone in goo.
Introduced a new version of Hydra.
Right.
Added a new layer to the new version of Hydra. Right. Maybe Strucker.
He's gone.
Oh, no, he'll be back.
He'll be back.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't die.
No, he didn't
die. He's comatose.
He's comatose. He's not dead yet.
He'll come back with it. He'll come back with a bad eye and bald, and it'll be Bear and Strucker all over again. It's a little crammed. It's not necessarily a bad thing because we've seen what happens when this show is spinning its wheels.
Yes, right. When I
well,
hated
and
that.
And it's flowing pretty well.
Oh yeah, it's flowing pretty well.
It's not like it's you know really slammed and nothing gets enough time.
Except we occasionally end up with episodes like last week, where it was a whole lot of you know.
Got to go there to get here.
Yeah.
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 So I mean. We're not looking at anything as bad as season one, first half of season one.
No,
but yeah, there's a lot happening in here, and that's okay. I mean, it has to clip along. It'd be very interested to see what we're really building to this season.
It just kind of surprises me, and I kind of like to have. I mean, if a story warrants having more time, why not give it more time? It really seemed to me like the Gemma story. There was so much material there that they could have.
They're going to circle back to that.
You know,
apparently,
they already are. That's just beginning.
Yeah. I think, to your point, Tim, I think one of the things that they're building toward, of course, is the Civil War movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're building toward Bobby and Hunter getting their own show.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those two things have to be layered into this whole thing from the get-go. We already know that going into the season that we've got those two things that are coming.
Right.
So... building around that is what? The new Hydra becomes part of Most Wanted?
Well, okay, what this show has not demonstrated a good grasp of is incorporating other storylines into its storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two seasons of questioning whether or not you should reference any other movies in connection with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well,
season one, season two.
They still need to have Coulson come in on the movies.
Yeah,
he has to show up in the movies.
Now that Marvel Studios is no longer under the creative group. Maybe we'll get a little bit more of the cohesion.
Maybe, yeah,
But the shows still, the TV shows still are, aren't they?
The TV shows still are, yes.
Okay,
but that lifts the restriction from the films to use any of the TV people.
Okay, and that's fine, but when it comes to the television show,
right,
which is the subject that we're talking about, it does not have a good track record with tying into the movies.
And now there's no real direct connection between the two. If the movies can go off and do their own thing, there's no line of communication.
Oh, I'm sure they're still
communicating. The movies, not as direct. Yeah, but
the movies can
pull from the TV shows, I think, more easily now because they don't have the creative group sitting there going, no, you can't do that. No, you can't.
What about the reverse of the TV show feeding off the films then?
Well, and that's really where it's fallen down.
Right.
Because last season, of course, we had the buildup of the big secret that Phil had, and the traveling around the world, the things he was doing so that he could bring the
helicarrier out of the mothballs.
Yeah.
So that was important, apparently. And that was, you know, that was a huge, big thing that is essentially a throwaway line in the movie. Okay,
it's just a piece of transportation for Pete's sake.
Yeah, and it was almost
set up that you know, here's this other helicarrier. Nobody would buy it unless they had an explanation of how it got there.
Well, except that we had it, and it was one line in the movie. So, but it's kind of like, over in the Doctor Who book line. Okay. There was like 10 years where they were building up a story with the Eighth Doctor. Back when the Eighth, that was all we got was the book line,
right?
And they were building up to using the Daleks, okay, who had not been used in the books in a long time because the BBC did not have the rights, because the estate of Terry Nation was not going to let them use them. And there was a big thing when the TV show came back in 2005 whether or not they were going to get the rights.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was a big question about whether or not it was, you know, oops, well. No Daleks for you. So they did. So they're building up in this story, and they keep referencing visuals in the text, which is like, oh, that's a Dalek eye. okay. And then they couldn't get the rights. So at the last minute, they rewrote the overall arc to end with a group that you'd never heard of. And, you know, it changed everything and completely changed the plot and had to wrap this up in, like, you know, two books as opposed to, you know, the big dramatic. Mm-hmm. So everyone sat there and went, huh? Which was kind of what we did season one and season two. And I'm concerned that season three, this show has not given us a lot of reason to hope that they can tie into a movie well.
Well, maybe they're not gonna.
Except they're already starting to reference it.
They're building up to it, and maybe the film jumps off of the TV show, and the TV show stays off by itself, which is not the smartest thing to do. But
if you're going to have the big superhero versus superhero thing in the movies, and you don't reference it in the TV show,
I'm sure they'll reference it,
and
it may not be integral enough.
We get an episode where Phil goes, "Wow. Wasn't that crazy?" And they go on. On one hand, I will applaud for the gutsiness of it. On the other hand, I'll be like, no. Yeah. You get back here and tell that story.
You do it right.
There have to be repercussions. I mean, you just have to. I mean, and granted, at the end of, you know, season one, once we got past Winter Soldier, the rest of the season was all about the fallout.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, zipped right along after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As it should.
So I expect that we'll at least get that. But it seems like we're building up to that in these episodes prior to the release of Civil War, which I think is better than, you know, spinning our wheels. And in the meantime, we're laying all the groundwork for the Inhumans movie, which is eventually going to come out.
And apparently quite a few other things. I mean,
Yeah. And we still could circle back to the planet again. Now we haven't even talked yet about the symbol, the symbol on the wall, the carving on the castle,
which is
the same logo
symbol.
As the
similar.
It's what was the name of it? It was Project.
For heaven's sake! We talked about it last week.
Yes, we did. Because it came. It's a something out of the comics, but it's out of
Pathfinder.
Yes, Pathfinder, which is out of the Fantastic Four X-Men rights stuff. So they can't do Pathfinder character. They can't do the character of Pathfinder.
There's another character named Pathfinder from the Micronauts comic. No. Well, we're getting we got a Micronauts script, which is not a Marvel property.
I know.
But we have the Microverse. It's over in Ant-Man.
Wait.
That's where he went.
That's true.
Ant-Man went to the Microverse.
We're going to have another session with notes, aren't we?
Pathfinder was one of the founders. He's one of the their origin. The Microverse's races, their origins were from our version of reality, right? So, and there were a whole bunch of alien races who ended up on Earth. And
which version would that be?
The 616 version of reality. Okay.
Thank you.
So, I mean, there's a lot of different things they could do.
Could they be setting up?
No. Well, okay, no. Actually, they could be setting up the Microverse, but...
They're talking in tongues now, Maya.
Well, we've seen the Microverse. We saw it in Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet.
And we're going to get a reference probably
in... So you're talking about, like, the
Dr.
subatomic...
Strength. Yeah, when he shrinks down to try to
okay. Right, the subatomic universe he's talking about. That's the Microverse.
Okay.
The Microverse. And we may get a little bit of that in Doctor Strange.
Possibly.
Maybe.
So...
They said it's going to be leading into Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you can do a lot of things with it. I don't think it's going to be setting that much up, but it is going to be doing something which is giving us the Marvel Universe has got a lot of ancient societies.
What if
and
Will,
ancient villain organizations?
What if
like that.
Will becomes Micronaut Pathfinder?
What?
I don't know, but. I think that since we've already established that this organization has been around at least since the 1700s, if probably not longer,
right?
That it's an organization that somehow got NASA to do its work for it, so it's in the government deep,
right?
And they have resources,
and pretty sure that somehow Powers Booth is involved.
Oh,
yeah,
and that's how you get Sword.
Yeah, that's how you get Sword. Maybe, yeah. It's very interesting where this stuff could go because I'm pretty sure that Will's going to die.
What?
Oh, yeah. He's going to die. If he survives the end of the season, I'll be really surprised. And then you know what he's going to get? Jabba.
Well, it depends on how long they want to stretch out that triangle.
Yeah.
Not too long.
No,
I don't think they will. I don't
know. It's not like the Tad and Jenny thing.
Well, there's all these other things that they ended very quickly that we expected to stretch out.
That's right.
This could be the opposite.
Yeah, but like, you know, like Lucy Lawless being on the show.
Did that happen?
Yes.
No, I just that scene watching the sunrise, to me, that is the they just said.
Yeah.
They didn't use the words, but they just said.
Yeah, they did.
This is where they're going to end up. Mm-hmm. They're going to end up in that little cottage in Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if anything,
no,
the triangle...
Won't. They're staying on the base.
The triangle is basically...
We'll move the base to Scotland.
It's
a magical
okay,
Fitz.
Okay.
You've got Fitz and Simmons on Earth, and you've got Will out there on the other. So the triangle is already there.
It's a big triangle.
It's a very long-distance relationship.
Yes. But Fitz has already come to terms with all of it. Yeah. You can just see it because he says
he's resolved
whatever for her.
Yeah.
So even if it means letting her go to be with Will, his brain, he's already there.
Yeah.
So of course she's going to stay with him.
Well, if he's fully accepted it, why did he get so angry when he saw the picture?
Well, he may have accepted it. Doesn't have to like it.
He still loves it.
Yeah.
You know, it's
because
that whole,
and
it's
human.
Startling.
It's the whole thing. If you love something, let it go.
Well,
yeah, but
and
it's
I
still
think
startling
that's
to see.
Look, you can.
That's what they are showing us now. But the thing is, he really let it go?
You can accept something and still feel pain.
Right.
Yeah.
True. But the thing is.
And the photograph is the first physical, evident, tangible proof that something else happened out there.
Because
he's seen
photos of him, but he hasn't seen the photos of them.
Yeah.
But the thing is. Has he really let it go, or is this just the face he's put on?
No, he's letting it go.
Like Tim said, he is the best man alive.
Yeah.
I think he's the real deal.
But again, we come back to the two of them standing there. They were saying,
"Yes,
we're ending up together." That was that's what the two of them were saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No matter what happens with Will,
right.
They both know, and they both just admitted to each other that they are going to end up together.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
On that note, Dan, you still look unconvinced over there.
He's shaking his head.
I think there's the room. I think it's not that there is or isn't. I'm just saying that there is room for them to play around with that. And I would not be at all surprised if they did.
Okay. Mentally, I think Tim's right. Mentally and emotionally, they're already there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting there.
Yeah.
Well, it's the actual, you know, process of getting there, but they're already there.
And the business of Will has to be dealt with.
Right.
If nothing else, Will needs to be rescued.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Rescued or found dead.
Right. Killed by the thingy.
Or becomes the Micronaut.
Or killed by Fitz.
Which, I'll be honest, I was expecting to see a photograph with the thing in the background.
I was too. When she was talking on the camera, I thought something was going to show up behind her.
Something to be like.
I was watching that.
What? Well, it is still possible that we might see something. Maybe.
But we need a good resolution for that.
All right. Well, and we have a good resolution there for tonight's episode. That'll do it for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was nice.
You know, I am a trained broadcast professional. Don't try this at home, kids.
You might hurt yourself.
All right. If you have any theories or thoughts or comments that you'd like to share with us, you can call our hotline 573-42-SCIFI. Or you can leave a comment on our social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, and Tumblr. For those of you who are into cosplay, our Pinterest boards are all cosplay all the time. And we do invite you to check out some of our other podcasts over at Sci-Fi From Your Radio. You can find us on iTunes or your podcast player of choice. And as always, you can get the latest headlines, all the latest news over at scififorme.com. That's going to do it for us this week. I want to thank the panel of experts.
you say that so convincingly.
Wrong franchise.
Not so sure about
that. Yes. Christopher Breyer, Dan Handley.
Good night.
Maya Aids.
Good night.
Cammy Settle.
Sayonara.
Timothy Harvey.
Good night.
And my name is Jason Hunt. Thanks very much for listening, folks. We will be back next week.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.